welcome to episode 22 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelato.
And I'm Stefan.
And we've got a show for you today.
Really?
Well, you know, it's kind of something new. You know, we thought we'd do a show for you, which, you know, it's, you know, we haven't done it before, so we're going to see how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty new thing, though. We thought, but, you know, episode 22 is about time to actually get started, you know, a show.
You know, yeah. So maybe we should actually start doing something.
Housekeeping.
We got a bit of housekeeping this episode.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, we're recording the show a bit earlier this time. Recording it Friday night instead of Saturday afternoon.
Yep. Friday night it is. It's half past seven. I haven't eaten yet, so let's move along.
I'm getting hungry.
Let's move along, quick. Why are we recording early, Seth?
We're recording early this episode. We're recording the night beforehand.
Yep.
That we usually record on Saturday afternoon. We're recording on the Friday evening.
Night. Yep.
But although this isn't going to affect our release date, we're going to release it as normal on Tuesday afternoon.
They already know that because they're listening to it, so presumably that we're right.
Yeah. So it's no problem with the feeds or anything, so that's all good. Just means that we get to attend an event.
We do.
A LAN.
A Life in Hex endorsed event.
Yes.
And kind of sponsored because we're giving him a birthday present. And that's like kind of sponsor.
Yes, exactly.
Should we put like from Life in Hex, from the Life in Hex crew, best regards, print it so that it's like
on
mass.
On the disc. Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Oh dear.
But anyway, getting back to the point.
Yes.
It's the Shamus's birthday LAN tomorrow.
It is.
We use LAN in the loosest of terms.
Indeed. Like the social gathering sense of the fact that it's Xboxes.
It's console fanboys.
Yes.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Thursday.
On Thursday. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday to you, the Shamus.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, the Shamus.
Happy birthday to you. Woo! Okay. So yeah, we're going around to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hook up, so I think it's three Xboxes,
yeah.
Three TVs,
yep.
And we're going to place a load of LAN games, although I don't know many LAN games on the Xbox bar Halo.
Halo 13.
Halo. I'm presuming that there's going to be some racing games.
I guess so.
Because I do know that most of them are into racing and cars,
yeah.
So look
prepare
out
to
for
be owned
possibly
on Need for Speed,
so maybe Burnout?
Maybe.
Is Burnout got LAN?
Maybe, but wasn't that only Xbox 360? Oh no, there was an Xbox version of the original Burnout 2.
Mm.
But Burnout Revenge was Xbox 360 or whatever it was called.
Somewhat like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway.
So it was something like that. So
hasn't he got that game for his birthday? What was that called? Either Flat Out or Fallout.
Oh, Flat Out 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's...
But yeah, so that should be fun.
Yeah,
so,
it'll be a good laugh.
And shouts out to the Shamus as well.
Yeah, shouts out to him. And, I mean, technically, thank you very much for the...
For
a good time. We hope we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We hope we enjoy it.
Yeah, we hope we enjoyed it, and we hope we didn't, like, I don't know, do anything rude and disturbing or... Yeah. The other bit of housekeeping we got is that there was some spam on the forum. It's all been sorted. I've banned the IP addresses, whinged to the people who own the IP addresses.
Officially.
There was a couple for gold and stuff, and just
on MMOs.
Yeah,
not like real.
Yeah, not
gold.
Real gold. I'd be buying it. That would be kind of
interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. So I don't know quite. You know, we've been put on the spammers hit list.
Well, it must be because I mean they joined very close to together. So either there's some reason why we got spam. Maybe there's a forum post or something that came up on that their search list or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you Google for specific things, maybe, and then they'll, like, just go down the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a thing because it's maybe they finally started going on PumBB. Because obviously, if they're bots, then... Which I don't think they were, judging by the spelling.
Well, the Chinese guy's spelling was atrocious, but the other guy, obviously... was in the US, so his spelling was better, but still not great.
Yeah. We don't know what that was about, but we don't really care. It was all banned and stuff.
But we've left them up there as little warnings to other people.
Yeah, and obviously so that we're not just, like, randomly deleting posts like fascists.
And the other people can have a laugh at them.
Yeah. People can go, ha ha!
You got owned, bitch.
Yep. So that's our housekeeping anyway.
Right, so...
Okay, moving on. We've got... our life section.
Yes, we have our life section. And biggest life for both of us, hell, because, I mean, you put in a lot of effort for it in terms of your life.
Yep, two evenings.
Is the Echo has arrived.
Indeed.
It's brilliant.
Yep. Check out the pictures and spec and that on the forum.
Picture.
Picture and spec on the forum.
I took loads of pictures with that camera. That camera that my dad's got, it's fucking shite.
Yeah.
I took like 6 pictures. Took like 15 seconds to save each one. Mm. Took forever to save them. And I didn't even save them properly.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what was up with that. But the one I got was really good because the light's almost shining into the lens. It looks really cool. Mm-hmm. So go and check out the picture on the forum.
And all the spec and
check out all the spec. Just really quickly, just to say it's an Intel Conroe, the new Core 2 Duos, the E6700.
Yep.
Which is quite beefy.
Yes.
Not as beefy as the E6800, but that's like an extra £250.
And then the Extreme Edition stuff. Well, that is the Extreme Edition.
It is called the Extreme Edition. So, yeah, go and check out the spec if you're interested. Go and have a look.
I've got a bit of life. I finished my client's website at last. I've been designing it for quite a while.
You have to admit, though, for quite a while, it wasn't even your fault that you couldn't design it.
Yeah,
because you're waiting on him.
Delays and being away and stuff and all that sort of thing. But it's finally finished, which means Project TerraCore is going to be underway very soon.
Yes.
Which is...
you make all these fancy names for projects, like Project Guidestone. And all it was clearing out and reformatting it and putting in something new.
No, it wasn't. It was the whole new... Project Guidestone was the whole new case.
Oh, was it the case?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was. Duh, sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, Project TerraCore is basically a way of saying upgrading Tomb Raider, my server, putting a X2 something in it. And 2 GB RAM and another 500 GB. What?
Footsteps on the stones.
Adding another 500 GB, making it a terabyte. Hence TerraCore, dual core. So it should be very cool. And you have one last thing, and that is that you have joined Dare Expended Rounds.
Dare Expended Rounds.
It's more like Dare the Expended Rounds.
Yeah, but Dare. It's supposed to be Dare Expended Rounds, but.
It's not.
We either call it Dare, just Dare.
Or The Expended Rounds.
Dare, The Expended Rounds, or just The Expended Rounds.
Yeah. So. But one of them, anyway. It's joined Dare.
Saffron has joined the clan.
D-E-R.
D-E-R. Sounds so much cooler.
Yeah, what, D-E-R?
Yeah, D-E-R sounds much cooler than Dare.
Yeah, and Dare doesn't... Dare's like the slang way of saying it.
It's like, Dare.
Yeah.
I'm in Dare. Oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah. But yeah, so Saffron has joined the clan.
Yep, I've joined DER, so it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so... yeah, I'm enjoying Dare, and it's good fun. It's a shame, though, because, like, Innie and DeFay haven't been around too much for whatever reasons, which is kind of a shame, because, like, you know, they are the leaders.
Yep.
So...
Including me.
I know you're leading, but you're on.
I'm on,
so.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I hope to be gaming with them soon, and hope they come back soon.
Yep. Okay, we're gonna have the tech section first. Honest, we're gonna have the tech section.
Yeah, actually, we're not trying to fuck up with you again, Mix. We are actually having the tech section first.
Yes. And I'm gonna have a chat about alternative software for iPods,
which you will like, Mix.
Yes. Basically, iPod Linux and Rockbox, in a sense, the alternative software thing. Now, yeah, Hack5 did this. So they did the installing of iPod Linux, and they showed Doom on the iBoy thing, which I haven't seen yet because Mix can't get it to work, or he hasn't got around to it. The two main things are Rockbox and iPod Linux. Now, iPod Linux is based on UC Linux, which is like an embedded Linux for like practically every single microprocessor chip you
can
get.
So it's a bit like you know, how people have put...
And it also... has a GUI replacement called Podzilla. So those two things make up iPod Linux, which is sort of the term given. Obviously, the Linux kernel has had to be hacked a little bit to make it work with, like, a 2-inch screen and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the GUI replacement is surprisingly good. I mean, literally, like, if you took a second glance at it, you wouldn't... you'd think it was just the normal Apple OS.
Yeah.
I thought iPod Linux was really, like, gimmicky and just, like, you know, you had a command prompt and you had to scroll the click wheel through all the letters to type any commands and stuff, which is true, but they've actually really got a graphical user interface that's like, whoa, holy hell, it works.
Yeah.
And like, there's loads of games on it. Half of them break and crash, but there's loads of games on it and they, you know, like the games work. Like
They load. You can play them for a bit.
So iPod Linux has really come a long way. Mm. You know, it's really come from sort of development stages and people putting iPods in sound dampening recording areas to record the firmware piezoelectric sound, which is fucking amazing story. Go and Google iPod Linux, iPod firmware piezoelectric recording something.
Why don't we just put a link on the site?
Yeah, link will be on the site. It's really awesome.
You'll forget now.
No, I won't, because I'm going to put it in here. Yeah, so it's come a really long way from sort of the first initial developments, and you can either install it manually, which is pretty much like the original way of doing it was to install it all manually, patch the firmware to allow for a bootloader type thing and all this sort of thing. Oh, and the other thing about it is that you can practically never brick your iPod, even like if you completely screw this up, because at the end of the day, Apple have like a firmware restorer, and it just completely erases your iPod and restores the stuff off the boot ROM. The only way to brick your iPod is to like pull it out while it's doing that, and that kind of wrecks it. So yeah, so you can either install it manually, or you can use Installer 2 for Windows, which is, I guess, based on Installer 1. It's got a whole package management for iPod Linux, and like an easy installer, you don't have to install any like Linux file system drivers, because obviously it's got to be a Linux file system, so normally in Windows you can't edit it or anything, which does present difficulties later. But yeah, you can install Installer 2, and you can run that for a while, and it will just, you know, you reboot your iPod and bingo, you're an iPod Linux.
Yeah.
Just like that. They've practically got support for every single iPod now except the iPod Shuffle, obviously.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah. But practically every single version of iPod they've got, some of them say, like, unsupported, use at your own risk. For instance, Mix's second generation iPod Mini was unsupported, but it works fine. It just crashes a lot. And it has all the features of the normal App OS firmware, and obviously a lot more because it's Linux.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near as good. It's a massive CPU drain on the thing, because it's only got a 27 megahertz processor in it. So it's a massive CPU drain, and therefore a massive battery hog. UC Linux doesn't have a something to do with floating point. It can't do floating point arithmetic, only integer. Therefore, playing music is quite a difficulty for it.
Yeah.
It can do it, but to do it properly requires a hell of a lot of hacks and sorting out manually doing stuff. But it can be done. But you're going to drain your battery doing it. It's not worthwhile.
It's probably... It's not worth it to have it so you can listen to music on it, because you might as well just have your normal iPod for it.
Exactly.
But it's just say I've got, you know, Linux on my iPod, well, and it's cool to do.
There's,
you know,
a bootloader, so you can choose the original Apple OS firmware and go back onto that and listen to music, and then go onto iPod Linux when you want to play some Doom.
If you're cheap enough and can't be asked to go out and invest in a handheld console.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's beside the point.
The only problem Mix had was that his Apple OS firmware stopped working whenever he installed iPod Linux.
Yay.
Which kind of presents difficulty. But that leads on to Rockbox. Now, I'm not 100% sure what Rockbox is based on. I really don't know. It's not iPod Linux, but it works a hell of a lot better for doing what iPods are supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it really is a proper firmware replacement, as in, like, you could use this for your iPod. I don't know what it does, how it's done for battery, but as far as I know, it's okay. I mean, Mix now uses it to listen to music, essentially. And basically, I'm not kidding, it has more functionality than Windows Media Player for playing music.
Holy hell.
It's got, like, full equalizer, shuffle, skip, playlist sort, sorting by tags. It's just, honest to God, it is insane how good it is. You know, you go through the menus and there's like 50 different things you can do in each menu, and there's like 20 menus. You know, you're going through all this stuff, and there's all the similar games that are on iPod Linux. So, like, why bother with iPod Linux, you know? But obviously iPod Linux is Linux, so it's cool. The other thing with Rockbox is you can customize it, especially on the color iPods. You can customize it massively, and if you actually look on the website, the links will be on the site, on our site, that is, there are some schemes that make it look fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, just look like, they almost look like Longhorn, like Vista on your iPod. Like,
that's
the,
nice.
You know, the pictures of like Windows Media Player emulating type images, even though it's like little firmware on your iPod. I mean, it's just, Rockbox is surprisingly mature considering it's a hack, essentially. So anyone who has an iPod, give it a go, because you can't brick your iPods unless you do something stupid, like pull the power out manually or whatever. And at the end of the day, you can always restore it if you don't like it, and it will restore perfectly. You're going to lose all your music, obviously.
So back it up.
Yeah, so back it up. But just give it a go. It's actually surprising. It's just fun, and it's just interesting to watch your iPod scroll with all those kernel log messages as it boots. And that's just cool. And if you've got a fairly good one, then obviously you can play Doom and stuff, which to me is a complete gimmick. I mean, that's just nonsense. But there are actually good games on there. There's like Buster Move and stuff that you don't normally get with normal iPods.
I imagine games like Buster Move, for example, like an Tetris, artillery type game.
Artillery type things. And, you know, there are surprisingly, you know, there's some games and they're actually surprisingly good. Interestingly, that brings me on to the next topic, which is iTunes 7, which has just been released. Now, with iTunes 7, they also released games for your iPods.
Oh.
Ah, but you have to pay $4.99, I think, for these games. Even more people are going to turn to iPod Linux and Rockbox, because iPod Linux and Rockbox practically have exactly the same games that Apple are offering for the iPod. So, iTunes 7 has just been released, as I just said, and with it, an updated iTunes Music Store. I think you can now download movies, I believe, yes, in 640 by 480, which is pathetically low. Mm. And they say, like, you can put them on, you know, because the new iPods have video output. You can actually output video onto your TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, theoretically, you could watch a movie off your iPod, which just...
Why'd you want to?
Yeah. But, you know, it's I absolutely detest iTunes 7. It has put me off so much, I spent several hours configuring FUBAR 2000 to how I like it so that I can play music with it. Because they have completely... I don't even know how it got out of Apple's testing. Mm. Because the moment I installed it, I was on TeamSpeak and all my music was just stuttering like hell. The entire... It was just jittering. You couldn't listen to it, essentially.
Yeah.
I turned off TeamSpeak, shut down TeamSpeak, and it was okay until, like, I dragged the window around or MSN popped up with a toaster message, you know, such and such as signed in.
Yeah.
Looked on the web. No one had reported it yet. I reported a message to Apple, as you do. And then people started whining about it on the forums. It turns out that, like, they've updated QuickTime, and QuickTime, like, doesn't support any sound settings apart from 16-bit and 44 kilohertz sampling or something. Now, considering my XFI is 24-bit, I should be able to have 24-bit, but it screws it up even more. It almost sounds like it's damaging my sound card as it's playing because it's so bad. Mm. Whatever setting I set it to, it doesn't fix it, even though some people on the web have said that there's a fix for it. It was on Dig as well and all that sort of thing. But with my XFI Platinum, or, well, XFI, it just doesn't... I can't listen to music on iTunes anymore.
Strange.
And Apple aren't releasing a patch for it anytime soon. Because they're scared to, apparently. I don't know why.
Well,
but what I want to know is, how on earth did that get out of Apple's testing? It's such a glaring error. You're telling me they all they have the same rig for all of their testing? And, like, you know, they didn't test it at any of their homes, their employees' homes, like beta versions?
Now, have you ever considered, I don't know how it would work, I'm just throwing it out there, that it was on purpose?
No.
Because Apple have been known to do strange things.
Maybe.
Because maybe it's some kind of advertising campaign that they're trying to do. Maybe they've created some kind of rival company to rival Apple and iTunes.
You are just making this up, aren't you?
Yes, I am, but still, how do you know?
I don't. But
like you said, why would they release something that's so blatantly buggy?
Mm, I don't know. It's crazy. But apart from that, iTunes 7 has like a new graphical user interface, like, you know, slightly adjusted stuff. Looks quite good. They've properly sorted out the downloads for podcasts and videos and things. It's now all in one tab, so you can look at them all and you can, like, pause them now and cancel individual ones. And, you know, it's a bit better.
Yeah.
Gives you an ETA on stuff, and it saves how far you've downloaded. So my Life in Hex episode 21 is slowly increasingly downloading as I accidentally load iTunes, and it downloads a little bit more before I close it again.
Because you don't want to use it.
Nope. But that leads me nicely on to my final bit of tech, and this is really quick, and that's a thing called MojoPack.
MojoPack? I've heard of this.
Yeah, now Sephron doesn't know what the hell I'm going on about.
Because it's not on the show notes.
No.
So I'm just going to nod and agree.
I got an email through from Xfire inviting me to join a closed beta for a program called MojoPack.
How come I didn't get that?
I don't know. Mix also got one as well.
Fucking hell.
But so I signed up intrigued as to what this MojoPack was.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out to be a patent-pending way of using your iPod or external hard drive enclosure or anything that's fairly big in size that you can plug into your USB.
Mm-hmm.
You install this software on it, you boot it up, And I'm not kidding. Honestly, Mix and I were completely freaked out when we tried it. Plug it in. Plug his iPod in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only an eight or 4 gig iPod or whatever. Plug it in. Comes up with a little thing. It auto runs, and Windows loads again over the top like VMware. Yeah, with a whole log on and everything, and it starts, and we're like, whoa, what the fuck? And we click the start button, and it's like, there's like a welcome, take a tour of Windows XP. It's like a new Windows XP installation in his iPod.
Right.
Yeah? So it's just, so you think, well, that's just like a VMware, yeah? And everyone's done that before, yeah? But it's not, because here is where the amazing bit comes in. Okay, no, seriously, seriously, this is not hype. I'm not building up hype here. Okay.
You are.
Yeah, well, I am. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not building up bad hype. You can install games onto this.
Mm.
A whole registry and everything. Yeah, it installs games. You can play games off your iPod. You may think, so, your point, where are we coming to here? You unplug your iPod after logging off of your Mojo Pack. You go around a friend's house.
Yeah.
You plug it into their computer. You have your OS on your iPod. And you play games at exactly the same spec. And it seems to not require drivers. And you can press a button and it switches between the host and the client. And you just press a button and it unplugs. VMware can't play games.
No.
So, yeah.
That's going to be useful.
At the moment, it's in beta. And all of the beta versions will be free.
Sweet.
They said when it becomes commercial, they will be paying a small fee for it, that you'll have to pay a small one-time, no subscription fee for this thing. I reckon it will be like max 50 quid, maximum. I'm saying like 20, 30 quid. I am severely tempted to be purchasing a 40 to 80 gig USB hard drive to do this, because not just games, but anything. It's basically a VMware on a iPod or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I can especially see the attraction if I had, say, one of the big 80-gig iPods. Because it's very rare you can fill up 80 gigs of music, yeah? So you can just, like, you don't even have to partition or anything. It just installs Windows on your iPod. But it's like a stripped-down version. It takes up, like, 100 meg.
Mm.
But you browse your iPod outside of Mojo Pack, yeah? Because it emulates the C drive and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You go in, he, like, installed Xfire on inside Mojo Pack. It was really freaky to have, like, two Xfires loading at once. It was, like, completely freaky. But, like, if you actually view your iPod from outside of the Mojo Pack, you can see, like, Windows, program files, application data, and all of this stuff, and it's just...
It's all there.
I don't know how it works. No. Mix and I want to actually make our own version, like, see how we can emulate this.
Yeah.
But it's a patent pending, so it's like they haven't used open source software, which is my first thought. My first thought was like, this is an emulator tweaked a lot to run differently.
Yeah.
But it's not emulation, because if it was emulation, you wouldn't be able to play games in it.
No.
And you would
like you can't.
And you would need drivers.
Yeah.
We couldn't understand this. We started it up on Higara. It's installed on Higara. We started it up on Higara, and it's not asking for drivers or anything when it's installed. And we want to know what happens when you go somewhere else. Does it ask for drivers then?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so.
How does it do it then?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's like a semi-emulation, but not. We thought maybe it was making a new user, and then like almost like a remote desktop type thing, overlaying a new user.
Yeah.
But like redirecting it to your iPod or something. So we have absolutely no idea how it works, and it's fucking awesome. And we wish we'd thought of it first.
Like everything else.
Yeah. So I'm gonna keep up on this because it looks very, very, very interesting, and it could revolutionize the way we all like go around each other's houses and play games. Because think about it, how much do you come around here? I know everything's on Higara, but like, you know, if you had a 40 gig removable hard drive, you know, like USB hard drive enclosure, like literally pocket size, like type thing. You can get them now. A 40 gig is about £80, which isn't a lot if you think about it for 40 gig, little hard drive. You could, like, come over and you'd be like, hey, you know, check this new game, and you don't have to install it or anything. You just plug it in and play. And, like, or, you know, when you're transferring stuff from Tomb Raider and everything.
Yeah, easier than using the laptop.
It just...
That's interesting.
It gives me a new idea about buying, because I've always wanted to buy, like, a 40-gig external little pocket-sized hard drive thing, because it's so cool. But, you know, I was like, whoa, that's good. Anyway, moving on, because we've had, like, tons of tech now. Okay, we've got some music now. This is some more blues rock, and it's from Maria Danes with Rolling, and that's without a G at the end.
Rolling.
Little apostrophe. Rolling,
rolling. Rolling.
And our website is www.maria-danes.com. DAINES.com.
Isn't that supposed to be Maria?
Maria.
Maria.
Maria. Yeah.
I've been watching
You want to Maria, do you?
No! That's how I thought you pronounced that.
No. And obviously, thanks again to music.podshow.com for providing us with this music, of course.
We should stop looking there and look somewhere else.
Yep, so that we don't have to keep plugging.
They don't do anything for us apart from give us free music. So. Yeah,
give us the music for our show for the past 22 episodes. So we'll get you back after this with some anime and some gaming.
Yes.
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed Maria Danes there with Rolling. A bit of blues rock for you there.
Aye. Am I still muted?
No, you're not still muted. Yeah, I muted Stefan because he kept interrupting me at the start. So he was muted. Okay, we've got the anime section now.
We have an anime section.
And it's a bad anime section in the sense of bad as in not good.
Yes, as in the review is a bad review for once.
It's bad.
Bad to the bone. It's bad in a bad way, not bad in a good way. I've decided that all the anime shows we've done, we started doing anime in what, episode 6, yeah. 7, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, all the reviews I've done things that I've really liked. Well, mm-hmm. obviously, because I'm going to be watching and reading things that I enjoy.
Yeah.
That's fair enough, obviously.
Of course.
But I decided, well, but that's a bit biased.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to be a biased anime reviewer, you know. I mean, like last episode, I did a review of Elfin Lied, but I only gave it like a 7 out of 10 or something. And you were moaning at me. So I don't like to be biased. I like to be fair, you know. I mm-hmm. like to give it a fair and just review.
Yeah.
So I've decided to do the review, a review of book 1 and 2, because I haven't read the whole series yet, but it's enough to go on.
To get the idea.
As you've just heard in all the stuff I just told you.
Yeah.
Of a manga series called Battle Club.
Uh-huh.
Now, we tried to get the Japanese name for it to sound like...
The Japanese name is Battle Club.
We got the Japanese lettering for it.
Yeah, but we really can't, like...
So we translated it, but it stood for Battle Club.
Yeah.
So...
Japanese... Because the Google Translator didn't translate it, as in it actually translated it to English.
It didn't translate
than...
it into phonetic Japanese. Yeah. So, yeah, it was its Battle Club, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The original artist for it is Yuji Shoizaki,
mm-hmm.
who did the series, series called Iki Tusen, or better known in the West as Battle Fixers.
Uh-huh.
You may have heard of that?
I have.
Yeah, I thought you might have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good series.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a little bit superficial in some areas, and the stories... very complicated because it just has so many new characters in it constantly. It's a good series. It's an enjoyable series. It actually has a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Club kind of like
doesn't.
It was made recently, actually. It's a rather new manga.
Mm-hmm.
It was only released in the last few months in, you know, the West, in the US and the UK.
Yeah.
And it's only been out in Japan since... April 2004,
right.
So it's relatively new, mm-hmm. considering, you know, the time span of it and, you know, normal manga.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the story outline of it...
Story. In quote marks.
Outline of it is... It's about this guy. I can't even remember his name, for crying out loud. I mm-hmm. don't even know his name off my hand. But just like, you don't know, need to know his name because you know him by looks, but
yeah.
It's just, you don't care.
Mm.
That's how bad, you know, that's how much this manga grabs your attention. Mm. You don't care what the characters' names are.
Yeah.
It's about this guy who wants to become really strong at wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So he joins the school's wrestling club that he's just transferred into, and it mm-hmm. turns out to be an all-female girls wrestling club, which he gets enrolled into, because it's both sexes, but there's only girls in it, so...
Mm-hmm.
How convenient.
Well, how convenient.
Technically, there's only girls in it, but the captain...
not good.
Less said about that, the better.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, people who don't understand that, you don't actually want to know.
You really don't.
People who do understand that, you'll get what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah.
You know why I'm not going to say it. Because
yeah.
everyone else will be like, what the fuck are they talking about that for? So, yeah, it's just about this guy who's trying to become like more powerful in fighting, and he decides to become a wrestler within his wrestling club to do it. And it's generally like the rivalry between him and the others, and the wrestling club versus the karate club, and
mm-hmm.
the other main female character, and it's trying to like prove her worth and be like as powerful as her mum was or something like mm-hmm. that. It's not really a very in-depth story. It's very superficial. And I would go as far to guess that the manga was originally... destined to target a US audience.
Right.
So even though obviously it was made in Japan first, released in Japan first, the original intention of it was to grab the stereotypical US audience, because,
yep.
I mean, it is very westernized in the way everything's done. I mean, it's all fan service.
Wrestling.
You know, it's all fan service, it's all wrestling, it's all slang and everything. It's very... hip and street and all that
obviously
stuff.
That
so,
could have been done by half of that could have been or some of it could have been by the adaptation for the US version.
Yeah, that's the problem, because obviously the translation of the words would have been done like that, but the artwork style corroborates the fact that it might have been done in the first place.
No, true.
So
yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, I don't know, but it just really makes the series so superficial and so shallow. There's no depth to the story, or there's no depth to the series at all. So It's all right. It's good. It might be good for a good laugh if you just want to pick up and read it. Mm. But, you know, and if you're looking for a bit of a fan service, you know, for no particular reason. But, yeah, it's all right. But I blame Pacamac, to be honest. Because they're his manga. They're not mine.
Of course.
They're his. Honest.
He's the horny one.
But he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can flame him as much as I damn well like. No, I better not really, because he will stop lending me his manga. So pack him up, you own, you really do. But yeah, it kind of sucks. So 3 or 4 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't buy it.
Yeah.
Life in Hex endorsement.
Only buy it if you want lots of nice fan service, but considering you can get that free off the internet,
and
why bother?
And if you can buy it for 820 yen.
Yeah, that's cheap ass, man.
For Amazon.co.jp.
Yeah, if you want to pay like £10 import price.
Yep. They probably don't allow you to import it.
No. So yeah. So yeah, it sucks. Don't bother with it mm-hmm. at all. Whatever.
Any good points at all? Oh, it's fan service. That's the good
thing. There's loads of fan service, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Just briefly explain fan service for people, because people might not like know what
fan service is. Risque stuff, you know, like sexy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, what you might can be considered to get a guy going, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's like lots of like panty shots, lots of ripping clothing, lots of boob shots. Oh, right. Anyway, so yeah, that's Battle Club reviewed. It mm-hmm. sucks. Don't buy it.
Overall. All right. You've got one little bit of news,
which I think is really important, because, I mean, this is kind of like almost sort of a running update within the show, because we did a report on the movie, which came out. Yep. I still haven't seen that. I really want to see it. The official website for the Death Note anime mm-hmm. is up. So yeah, the Death Note anime has been confirmed. I mean, I didn't even know it was out. I didn't know they were making one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, scratch that. I knew they were making one. I just didn't know it was ready already, you know. And it's going to be aired on October the 3rd. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's coming soon.
All right. And the address for that. And you did you say the date?
Yeah, 3rd of October.
The 3rd of October.
This year.
In Japan.
In Japan. So the subbing groups will have it pretty quick, I would imagine, simply because it's going to be a very popular anime.
And
let's hope it's good, though. Mm-hmm. Let's hope it's good, because, I mean, they could screw it up.
Mm, they could. But that will be riding on the success of the film, of course, I assume. So.
The film was riding on the success of the manga. The manga was a hit runaway.
Yeah.
It was a runaway hit in Japanese, you know, all Japanese comic stores. It was a massive, massive fad. It is a massive, massive fad and following and cult.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie spawned from that, and now the anime spawning from that. So,
yep. Okay, and go and check that out at ntv.co.jp/Death Note.
Yes.
Links on the site, of course.
Of course, it will be in Japanese.
Indeed.
So
any Japanese speakers, then you're fine.
Anybody else, you're fucked. Quite simply, you're screwed.
Don't go checking that site.
Just look at the pretty pictures.
Okay, we got some last few gaming points. First thing is that Introversion, who brought you Uplink and Darwinia, are about to release, I think it's gone gold now, a game called DEFCON, as in the defense rating of the US. Is it the US, DEFCON?
I don't know, I think it's DEFCON.
Yeah.
If it is the US.
We're not talking about the hacker conference, that's what we mean.
No, I thought it was DEFCON first when you put it down, so.
Yeah. And what it is it's kind of like a strategy game thing where you've got a world map. It's very simple graphics, like straight out of War Games, the film War Games. And you've got a map of the globe, and you choose you can play on your own AI mm-hmm. or on LAN against your friends. You could probably have like up to four, five, six players.
Eight. Yeah, something like that.
And basically, you choose your territory. You sort of set up like.
But when you say territory, you mean like countries?
Yeah, countries. Yeah, or continents or whatever. You set up sort of defenses. You know, and like satellites and things, and then you deploy like aircraft and ships and all this sort of thing, and they sort of duke it out a bit in the sea. But then you have this sort of
moving very, very, very fast.
Yeah,
getting across half the Atlantic Ocean in about 3 seconds.
Yeah, they do move a bit. Vast rate of knots.
they move a bit.
Yes. But then you've sort of got. Like almost Armageddon, essentially, where you've just got all sides firing on each other. The screen, there's so much to take in on the screen. You look at the movies and you're wondering how the guy who's playing it for the movies is like keeping
up. There's so much information on the screen all over the place.
It's just flooding at you. And it just looks like a really cool game. I mean, you can buy it off Steam for a tenner plus tax. Or you can buy it from Introversion for a tenner. And if you pre-order...
Better order it.
Same as Company of Heroes. If you pre-order it, Introversion will send you a free, no shipping or anything, boxed copy, which is not something they usually do with their games. Darwinia was always like on Steam. So they're well into their electronic distribution. So the day it's released, you will receive a download link to download the game. You download the game, and then they will send you a free boxed copy of the game with a CD, etc., which after the pre-order time will cost £5 plus shipping and will be limited availability. So
get it now.
Get in there on introversion.co.uk.
Is this a UK only thing?
I'm not sure whether it's a UK only thing. I'm sure, you can get the game off Steam, obviously, and it's the same price. In fact, I think it might even be cheaper to try and like compete with that, even though they're not competing, but you know what I mean. But I reckon it could be a contender for those sort of quick, fun LAN games that we use Worms Armageddon for, because it looks like, I don't think the games will last very long, not like sort of like Age of Empires style.
They're not going to be like hours and hours and hours and hours. But I can see some games lasting a while if you like really get pro at it.
Yeah, and you're playing it safe sort of thing, because it's always like who strikes first type stuff.
Yeah, because whoever launches like the first nuke then is going to get like a million other nukes in their
phase. So you could sort of almost have like a stalemate type thing. But it looks really fun. It looks like it's not going to require a high spec. So, you know, if you've got some spare computers lying around that are on Windows and you want to have a game with your mates, you'll be able to, because, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to require like uber graphics.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, nowadays all games that people want to play are always massively high spec,
apart from something like Worms.
Counter-Strike and all the new racing games, Far Cry, etc. But why isn't a game like Worms, which can be run on a really low spec computer, that's just as fun, if not more fun?
Exactly.
So there's nothing wrong with low spec games in
definitely
modern day.
Not. So go and check it out, introversion.co.uk, for that. There's also loads of footage on IGN and all that sort of thing. So go and check that out.
All the usual places.
The day it's released, if you're still not sure, if you haven't pre-ordered it for a tenner, £10, then there'll be a demo on the day of release that you'll be able to pick up. Also, big news, but we're only going to brush over it. We'll have a much greater talk on it when sort of like, I don't know, we get one.
Well, A, we don't have time right now.
Yeah.
Because we've really gone over time for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've been muttering on for ourselves for a lot, but still.
Yeah.
And also, we don't have a massive knowledge of everything.
We need Proen, really.
We need... Proen is a lot more knowledgeable on this. And this is the about the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah. Now, I suggest we sort of, like, mug up on it a little bit and, like, you know, have a bit more for the next show, because obviously there's been the two conferences. But basically, the release dates and the price and some of the games have been announced for the Nintendo Wii. The final design has been announced. And the US release date is the 19th of November, and it's going to be $250, which is £132. And the UK release date they announced shortly afterwards, and that's for the 8th of December.
Which is bullshit, because it's the same console. So why the hell are we having to wait?
There were even rumours of the damn thing being region free. Some guy in NOA, Nintendo of America, said that it was going to be region free, and then 2 days later, someone else said that guy's wrong and he's been fired or something like this.
Why is region free, man? I mean,
not only that, but why did the guy think it was region free?
Oh, I don't know.
Because it's TV. You can't region free TV. PAL and NTSC people. Hello.
I know.
You know, you'd need an action replay inside it.
Ugh, whatever.
But anyway...
But now we get to the nasty bit about this.
And the nasty bit is that the price in the UK is £180. That's £50 more than the US.
Fucking bullshit.
And that's a lot. That's not like a tax thing. There isn't
that's not
that
like
much...
an extra, you know, £5 that's been thrown on because it's in the UK.
I mean, there is a tax. You know, there's not a tax as such, but like... video games and console games are more expensive here, not only because... the market here is more expensive, but also I believe there is something about they have to have the higher prices
in this country.
Yeah, you have to pay
for something or whatever, but
it's
whatever.
It's like video game tax. I don't know.
There is something
about the UK.
Some legislation that makes you pay more for it.
Yeah, but, and obviously we have VAT and stuff, so... But that is a lot of money.
£180.
I mean, I thought, you know, there were rumours of it being under $100 for crying out loud.
No.
You know? And $250 isn't a lot. £130 isn't a lot.
We said £130 on the show.
We always said.
And we are technically correct.
Yeah. But it's that's nearly £200. I mean, it's still cheaper than PS3 and Xbox 360.
It's still the cheapest console out there. And for what it is, it's still not too bad.
How much is an Xbox at the moment?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess anywhere from 300 upwards.
No, an Xbox, not an Xbox 360.
Oh, 100?
Yeah, because it's slightly more powerful than an Xbox, so it can't be hardware, because hardware issues, apart from the remote, it's graphical power and everything is an Xbox. So yeah, 180 quid, that's a lot of money. 200 quid, basically. Call it 200 quid, because you're going to buy a game or a couple of games. So call it like 200 quid investment. And the games are like 40 quid.
No, the games are cheap.
No, the games in America are cheap. The games in the UK...
Probably said the games were going to be like
27.99.
They're going to be like 20 quid at most.
First-party Nintendo games are going to be cheaper than third-party games.
So we're getting screwed, aren't we?
Yes, we are getting screwed by Nintendo.
This is the first time Nintendo really have screwed with the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Nintendo make fucking loads of mistakes in the past and screwed with people. But this is the first time they've ever screwed the UK solely.
Mm. It's a lot of money.
Is this UK or Europe? I would imagine it's Europe.
It's Europe, essentially. So Europe are also getting it for however many euros that is.
Like €200.
No, it's more than that. It's quite a lot more than that. It's like 200
and... 280?
No, 204. I don't know. Anyway, it's beside the point. But I'm not going to... I think I'm pretty much decided I'm not going to get it on release date.
Well, I've already talked about this on the forum, if you look at the forum. I've already told you I'm not getting it on release date. Mm. Which Prom's like, oh my God, I'm getting released. Oh my God. Mm. With the unbroken voice. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
The only reason I'd get it on release date is Twilight Princess. Because the GameCube version is coming out much later. It's not coming out on the same release date as the Wii.
Yeah.
And that would be really the that and Super Mario Galaxy would be like the only reasons that I'd get it on release date.
Yeah.
If they had Super Smash Bros. Brawl on release date, then I'd probably buy it.
So
on
would
release
I.
Date.
I think Super Smash Bros. Brawl is going to be freaking awesome.
Exactly, but I don't think it is. I think to compensate that, they're having Zelda Twilight Princess. That is the only thing that is making me go Nintendo Wii on release date. Play Twilight Princess.
But we can wait for that.
I'm not going to miss like a month, a couple of months or something for the because the price will just drop. It always does.
I've always said this, right? And I said it on the forum several times as well. Every single Nintendo console in the past 10 years has dropped at about £30 within the first few months.
Yep.
The GameCube was £150 when I bought it, when I pre-ordered it. It quickly dropped to 120 within a month or two.
And then much later on, it dropped down to
about
like
70 to 80 quid.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, wasn't the N64 like 200 something
pounds? The N64 at first was fucking expensive.
And I got mine for 100 quid in the end.
I think mine was 100 quid in total, including like the game I got with it.
I think mine was 100 quid on its own, and then I bought a controller and stuff, so, and a game.
But yeah, I mean, at first, the N64 was a fucking ripoff.
Yeah, it was.
The games were like 60, 70 pounds.
Yeah.
But then it went, very quickly down in price. So Nintendo always do this. So it's probably wise that we don't get it straight away.
But don't get us wrong. The Wii is going to be absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the Wii.
I am uber looking forward to it, especially after all the stuff that's been announced. It looks really, really good.
Yeah.
Certainly, Red Steel has picked up tremendously. It's looking a lot nicer.
The fighting
stuff is looking a lot better. And they seem to have redone a few things and certainly looking good. I like the way it looks.
Because, I mean, the demo that we saw at E3 looked good, and it worked.
But there were problems, allegedly, with the fighting and stuff.
It didn't look right. It didn't look like a good game,
And, obviously, Twilight Princess, again, they fixed things like you can now actually swing your sword, you swing the Wiimote to move your swords, which before it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And that's why Link has been switched from left-handed to right-handed. The other thing is, like, when you're firing arrows, before, you had to use, like, the D-pad top to fire, which caused you to shift up with your thumb, which caused you to go off. Mm. So they've now changed it to, like, the B button, which is right under your thumb, so you're much more accurate with that now.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos of people playing it at the latest demos, and, yeah, they're a lot more accurate with it. You don't see them jittering around like hell. So, yeah, so don't get us wrong. Like, Nintendo Wii is going to be awesome. But, you know, we don't appreciate being screwed over by 50 quid, which is the equivalent of, like, a game, two games, nearly. You know,
I've heard the controls are going to be expensive as well.
Yeah, but it comes with the Nunchuck and the Wiimote, at least. But it doesn't... And then the Virtual Console one is 20-something, £23, I think.
Don't forget, you can plug your GameCube on.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
But... I mean, what I mean is, they're just charging a lot. Mm. I mean, I don't know why.
Especially considering, like, it's so far below Xbox 360 and
PS3. In terms of, technology.
Yeah, exactly.
So, apart from the motion sensors and
aren't expensive,
And like the remotes and everything, and all the kind of innovative stuff which is on the Wii, which isn't overly expensive and it's not new technology or anything.
But that's what they're charging for.
Exactly, but you don't need to.
Mm.
So
yeah, but never mind. I'm going to skip the Just Cause first impressions because we're running out of time. So we talked about the Nintendo Wii.
What we'll do is we'll both play it because you've given me a copy.
Yeah. When I work out how to get a copy of it, because it's Sekirom.
So we're both going to try it out, and we'll do a proper review at next episode.
Yeah, we'll do a proper review rather than doing another first impressions.
And I'm going to skip my next gaming thing.
All right, okay.
Reason being, I'll say what it is. I was going to do a talk on
the Ragnarok Online
Ragnarok Online update, which is coming out. It's out on the test server, but it's not out on the official servers yet. On IRO, that is.
Yeah.
On the international servers.
Yeah.
And it's coming out sometime next week after the updates.
Oh, sweet.
So I was going to talk about it and say what's adding and everything, but what I can do is wait for it to be, implemented.
Released, and then you can
play it, see what's added, see what's new and everything.
Because you'd only do another thing when it's released.
Exactly,
anyway.
They'd only talk about what's actually done. So,
all right, so
we'll keep those till then.
And thus end the show.
Yes, about damn time as well. I'm starving.
I'm hungry. Food.
Now, shouts and plugs.
Yeah, we've got a shout.
We don't have any plugs.
And it's a kind of shout.
We've got a kind of plug or a shout. I don't know what it is, actually. It's a bit of both.
It's a mention, a note of respect.
Yeah, kind of,
That sort of a thing. You are in our thoughts.
I guess, I don't know if the US people do it. Because, I mean, they have the show, but I don't
Top Gear has taken the US by storm, so yes.
The UK show.
Yes, the UK show Top Gear.
Because I know at one point they were doing a US version.
No. The UK version of Top Gear is really popular in the US.
Right, okay. So the US, most US people then should probably know about Top Gear.
Oh, yeah. And they should probably know about this because it was pretty big news.
So that's the point, yeah. So they'll know about this. Richard Hammond, who's one of the co-hosts of Top Gear.
Yeah, that's the short one with white teeth.
The short one with white teeth, the gimpy looking one. Yeah. So yeah, he's the short one. Just in case you don't know, them by name.
With white teeth.
He's the short one with white teeth. But seriously, we're making a joke out of this. We should be making a joke out of this. This is bad. We're going to hell.
We are so going to hell.
He got into a rather nasty major car crash.
If you can call it a car.
If you can call it a car. What did they call it? It was
a vampire.
It was some numbers and everything. Vampire car.
It was probably on two wheels and very streamlined and... It was capable of doing 350 miles. He was filming for Top Gear.
It was for the show. And simply an accident occurred. I don't know the details.
No.
But they originally thought he was really critically injured.
They originally thought basically he was going to be practically a vegetable by the end of it because the neurosurgeons were getting involved. They thought he'd done some serious brain damage and all this.
But
sort
it turns
of thing.
Out that it's actually not as bad as they thought it was.
They're now pretty optimistic.
He should be making a full recovery.
I mean, when he crashed, and obviously there were guys on scene because they have guys on scene when they're doing anything.
Oh, just
like
in case this happens.
Yeah. He was actually talking them through what happened. So he wasn't unconscious after the crash, so he can't have been that bad, and he must have been pretty okay if he was actually, talking through what was... this is allegedly, obviously, this is only a report that I was told in maths today. In maths, get all the news in maths. And, apparently he was sort of, talking the guys through it as he was in the crash, and so, hopefully he'll make a full recovery because, he's awesome, and Top Gear's awesome.
Top Gear's great, and he's a very good presenter, and he's funny as well.
Well, the three of them together are a really good combination, aren't they? I mean, you just won't get that sort of chemistry with, I don't think, with anyone else. It just won't be the same.
I know.
They just do it right.
If he's going to make even a partial recovery, so maybe he's still going to be ill, I reckon he'd still do the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so passionate about his work.
But I think, it's just, Top Gear is such an awesome show. It really is. One of the best things that has come out of the BBC.
I mean, hell, we're not massive car fans, are we?
No, we're not.
I mean, I've kind of gotten more interested into cars recently because of the Shamus and my initial D animes and everything, but not a lot. Mm. But I still love to watch Top Gear. I think it's hilarious fun. I think it's really interesting.
And ironically, they've recently been doing the best of Top Gear things.
Yeah. Yeah, also, if you want to just check out information about Richard Hammond in general, just check out his wiki.
He's got a wiki.
Yes, he's on wiki.
It's Wikipedia article.
Yes, I know he does, but still, whatever, I'll just call it a wiki.
One of them.
He's got his own Wikipedia article, so it's just Richard underscore Hammond, you know, yep. the usual.
Well, just search for Richard Hammond.
Yeah, again. Whatever. He's got one. It's nice and easy to find. And if you want more information about him or about what he does or, you know, about the accident, for example, go and check that out. I'm sure you could Google and use it.
Yeah.
Loads of stuff.
But there's also loads of stuff on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a very good news source, and so there's all the updates and stuff yep. there and quotes to the articles.
So, yeah, check all that out.
And we hope you get to us soon, and we hope you're back on the Top Gear and racing down the road at 346 miles an hour for our entertainment soon.
For our entertainment.
Yes.
He's a real entertainer, risking his life.
Yes.
Props to you, my friend.
Indeed. Okay, well, that just about wraps up the...
That has to be one of the longest shows.
Yeah, an hour 30 is the longest we've done uncut. But bear in mind, there's like an hour
of
silence.
I know loads of it we haven't done much.
Yeah.
And but we've said, like, we're going to skip the Just Cause, going to skip RO, we're going to skip this, but we haven't actually done a whole lot of it, bloody is. So, yeah, I mean, we started at, what, 7:30?
It's an hour and a half. It's been an hour and a half recording.
Now, about nine. So...
Yeah. I'm Gelada.
I'm not Gelada.
No, you're not.
I'm Sefran.
I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sefran.
And this has been Life in X, episode 22. Let's go and have some food.
Yes.
Okay, hello, and...
Oh, recording, sorry.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Bicycle, two wheels.
Good point. Yeah, two wheels. Yeah, okay. Anyway, go on.
Bystander. No, it's gold.
Just got that.
So, we're recording early this week. Yep. Wrong again. We're not just doing this. We've got some housekeeping this week. Well, we will have housekeeping every week, but we have buys.
Something we're not telling
this is though. Not going well. This week we're not starting well.
Okay.
We've already got like 3 minutes of rubbish. Echo, my new
Echo,
computer.
My new computer.
That's actually very cool.
Is this a controller? I don't know.
Is this an analog stick? I mean, are these the buttons? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, what are the buttons? Why are there two analog sticks? You don't need two WASDs. I mean, come
on. It's like, you know, imagine trying to play with two WASDs and then like using the mouse with like your feet or something.
Yeah, I mean like, you'd have to like put your foot up on the. I'm even doing the demonstration now.
That doesn't make it any harder.
Yeah, my balls are playing.
My balls. Yes.
So there's a person.
Hello.
What a swearing coming from your computer. Oh, I've left TeamSpeak on.
Oh my god.
Mix Wizards, you are swearing like a trooper on TeamSpeak, and my mum just came in to tell you off. Ha ha.